Well, is everybody comfortable, sort of? Warm yet?
Amen.
All right. Well, at least we're not meeting out in the cold, or completely out in the cold. Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16. We are winding down. I told Pastor, I said the goal will be, finished by the end of the year. And close out 1 Corinthians and go into 2 Corinthians at the beginning of the year. So I've handed out an opinion goal, or an opinion poll kind of a thing. And if you would, studying for the rest of the lesson, go through it and see whether you agree or disagree with each of the statements, and then let's be willing to discuss them. I think they'd be kind of controversial. Some of them are rather interesting if you take them at face value, but I'm kind of curious to see what the consensus is. But this chapter is interesting. We finished out with Paul talking about the resurrection and all the issues that he's addressed, and now he's getting ready to discuss kind of an abrupt change to discuss giving. And he's going to talk about that more in 2 Corinthians, but here this is kind of interesting. We're going to look at the first four verses today and kind of discuss a little bit about what Paul's plan here is. And I want to read the first four verses. Chapter 16 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality to Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me." Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for your word. Thank you for these lessons in 1 Corinthians, that they are an example to us even today. And the challenges that were faced by the Corinthians were faced also by the other churches in Galatia and Ephesus and Thessalonica and the others. And Father, we do thank you that as these examples are issues that these churches run into, we see that in other churches. And Father, I pray that this church will not fall to these issues, but that we would do what is glorifying to you, that we would do what was honoring, and that we would put you first in our lives, that when a question does come up, we can go to your word, we can look and see the application of it, and thank you for giving us wisdom and a direction on how to handle that. And Father, again, I thank you for this church, for what it stands for. I thank you for the fellowship that we have and the oneness in so many areas of our lives, that many of these issues that were brought up aren't applicable, but we may run into friends that are having those issues. We can give godly guidance through that and can take them there. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you now that you would be the one presenting this. It's your words, not mine, that you would put me aside, that you would be glorified through all of this. And we ask it in your Son's precious name. Amen. So as we look at this, we see that Paul is directing the Christians at Corinth, and really any Christians, to view life as a Christian as a stewardship principle. And that's really what he's trying to tell them. He says, listen, you are privileged people. Peter said we're peculiar people, and that we have a responsibility, that what God has given us, our salvation, the opportunity to share the gospel, that's a responsibility and part of stewardship. And just as he's talking about Christians devoting every part of their life to God, which is, you know, includes our time, money, and efforts, and to use them for His glory. And we've seen people that have been using it for their glory, and what do they get out of that? They just get the gratification here. But Paul is also starting out what we have been doing regularly is a love offering. Like I said, it was kind of a change of pace here where he said concerning the collection for the saints, back in Acts, he was told by Agabus that there's a dearth or a drought up in Jerusalem. And they're struggling. They're having a hard time of it. And I've known of sending churches that have, because they sent, I guess you could say they sent too many people out and they didn't keep enough of them at home. But they were giving so much that over the years, they just kind of dwindled for one reason or another. And some of the churches, outlying churches, were actually sending people back and money to help them. And it's kind of what was happening here. In Jerusalem, I mean, when Pentecost was occurring, there were people from all around the world in there getting saved and then going to their home. Well, the people in Jerusalem, what were they doing? They were helping them. They were selling what they could to help the people there because they may not have had a place to stay, or these people stayed there so long to learn and to start prospering the little church that when they left, a lot of the monies left from Jerusalem to go out. So now they're having problems there, and so he's stressing that hey, you got to give, and he's doing that with all of his churches. So we have seen so far, you know, with all these, that each one of these areas, that it's our how we're to live. You know, and the last one we left with was live in the hope of Christ's resurrections. And so beginning here, a couple of questions come up. Says, what do you think about as the offering plate's going by? Now here we're a small church, so it goes by pretty quick. But what do you think? What do you think about when it's going by? Or is it like, okay, what do I got in my pocket that I can give, you know? Pastor?
Is that an opportunity to worship?
Exactly. That's another opportunity to worship. Somebody else have it? Lynn?
Just a chance to praise the Lord for all He's given.
Yes, praising the Lord for all He's given us. And, you know, there's some people going, oh, okay, well, I guess everybody else is watching me. You know, I mean, people can come up with a lot of ideas. Children think it's great when the plate comes by. Of course, if they have coins, they like the noise, you know. But it's, you know, it's an example. And so, you know, like I said, we view it as an opportunity to worship the Lord. Most people think, oh, it's just offering. But it really is. It's a worship. It's a sacrifice. I mean, what happened to the widow and her mite, you know, when she gave it? She gave everything. People say that was probably all that she had, and she probably was going to go home and not have any food or anything. But she was taken care of because she gave everything, and the Lord used that. And there are people that do give sacrificially. They might only be able to give just a couple of dollars or maybe just change. But when they do give it, how do they, you know, when you give your offering, you know, we already think, well, I'm giving worship the Lord, you know, are we doing it? Well, okay, it's that time of the week again. Throw it in there. Or are we happy about it? You know, I think 2 Corinthians says, God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. You know, Lisa?
Really, I think we're supposed to come having already determined in our heart.
Exactly, determined already. You know, this is my opportunity to give back to the Lord. I'm thankful. It's you know, this time of the year, you really think about giving. You know, there's all sorts of things. The little shepherd boy that brought his lamb and laid it there for Christ, and the wise men that brought their gifts, and people that just came to give him praise. They may not have been able to give him much else. Can you imagine the innkeeper that said, "Well, you know, I do have this stable out back. It's not much, but you know, And they're like, hey, this is great. It's better than out in the cold. So Paul's addressing, you know, that some instructions for them. And that's kind of what he's laying down here is giving for a special cause, like we do for our missionaries when they come here, a love offering. Or when we give to our missionaries and, you know, they have a problem, so we say, hey, we want to collect between now and this time funds so that we can give for whatever occasion. I think not too long ago we gave for the Weimers for their van. You know, Rogers, they've listed a need for, car repairs. And I think in the last letter you read, they're still out on deputation here, or on furlough, but still doing deputation. So they're still trying to collect funds because of the changes. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about, is that churches, when they give, to how to give and what to give. And then he's also going to talk about in here about opportunities. And here's another question. Do you believe that God has ever opened a door of opportunity specifically for you? Yeah, a lot of heads nodding. I know he's done that for me. He's opened opportunities. Now, the other is, did you ever go through a door that you thought at the time was opened by the Lord, only later to regret having entered that door? Have we ever done that? You know, getting in over our, well, what we thought was getting in over our heads. But the Lord really was, you know, when he opens those doors, he's giving us an opportunity and preparing for us. And that when we come through it, that we actually are better in the long run. Thank you, Pastor. You get to return the favor. Now I know what it's like. Dry weather outside dries the throat. But, you know.
I have to say my wife elbowed me.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope it doesn't get too much different. But anyway, some of us have done that. You know, we got in, we thought, oh, man, what did I get myself into? But what's the best thing to do when we get in that position? Lord, give me some direction here. Help me. And have you ever had a song that you just couldn't figure out? Yeah, never happens, right? But, you know, of course, she's up here in front of everybody. I don't think she ever makes a mistake. I mean, she does. But she makes it look sound so good that the mistake was supposed to be there. Yeah, it's part of the, but you know, but it's those things that, you know, when we do those opportunities, and we think that we're failing, or struggling with it, God really gives us that support that we need, and that's what the Apostle Paul's trying to point out to these people here too, that we have unique opportunities, and some of us more than others because He can trust us. You know, back in those talents, we're going to talk a little bit more about those. But Paul's addressing the stewardship of the opportunities that we have here in these final little bits. And just like we finished out in Romans, he's going to be thanking the folks that helped him here toward the end, which should make it real quick to finish up when we get down toward the end. But he is really looking at the giving end, the stewardship of money. You know, it's interesting. People, oh man, he's going to talk about money again. But, you know, Pastor said straight, amen. You know, it's amazing what people that don't attend church regularly, what they think about a church and giving. You know, it's like, okay, well, how do you think that the church exists to start with if you don't give? Money just kind of, oh, well, we got a tree back here and there's this green stuff and we just pluck it off. Or we go back and we print the money, you know, just like the government. No. It takes offerings. It takes giving. Our missionaries, when they go out on the field, it'd be wonderful. I mean, some churches are able to tell missionaries, do not worry, whatever your cost is, you're taken care of. and a lot of the missionaries that went out, you know, I think of Amy Carmichael and Adoniram Judson and all those that went out, they gathered their funds beforehand, and oftentimes they got taken care of in there, but they tried to make those last while they were there. And they took on so many things, and of course people gave as they established the church and they taught. And it's a lot of churches, you know, I think of stories of country preachers years ago. They were fed in, you know, chickens and maybe a little bit of beef and some flour. You know, well, that was substance. They were taken care of that way. Sometimes they got money. I know our son, when he was up in Nova Scotia, there were four little churches that he took care of up there. Not a one of them could give him any kind of money because most of the people, they were fishing villages. And the fishing industry essentially was closed out and people were on welfare up there. So what they could give was very little. And he was relying on a stipend from the church that had established those. And it wasn't a whole lot. I mean, you know, four children living on less than $5,000 a year. And then, you know, like good governments, he was taxed on it. So it's amazing. But some missionaries, when they go out, and he knew that the Lord was taking care of him. He never went without. He learned to eat things like canned milk mackerel. Good food. But he had all the lobster he could handle. So that was good. But you know, missionaries look for the good and go in there. And the Apostle Paul was doing that. And he knew that most of these people, some of them could give, but some of them didn't. But what he believed, he was establishing with them the doctrine of the resurrection, which knew that they had a hope to look forward to. If they didn't have that hope, well, what good is it to take care of the rest of the church? You know, if I'm not going to rise and live with Christ, then, you know, what good's the rest of this stuff? So it lends right into this giving here, where he's trying to establish that we ought to consider our whole life as a Christian as stewardship. We were left here for a purpose, because if not, God might as well have just taken us home to heaven. And it's like another guy says, well, you know, why didn't God just, you know, create everybody identical, you know, and we wouldn't have to worry about sin? But then again, what would we all be? Robots. We would be like the angels. We'd just be messengers. So what he's trying to do is here in the first verses is the stewardship of money is the concept. You know, we talked about talents and given that in Matthew 25 talks about the parable of the talents. And then, of course, over in Luke 19 talks about the parable of 10 pounds. They kind of sound the same. And then the parable of the dishonest manager in Luke 16. But they were given specific tasks to take care of things. And, of course, one did real well, and the other one just took what he had and hid it. And you know, there are many applications. Some says, well, you know, that's like, you know, the one guy that had the one talent and he went and hid it. It's like our salvation where we just don't tell nobody about it. Well, you know, of course, God's not going to take away our salvation. So, you know, that's kind of not a real clear application of it. But you could say, well, God might as well have taken it away from you. You didn't use it. And you just sat around and just gathered all the teachings you could. but we're stewards of everything that God has put on this earth. And he allows us to manage that. And when they talk about money, what's the first thing people do? Oh, man, there he is. He's talking about it again. Money. All they talk about is money. Money, 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 money. You know, some churches, you know, when they take the offering, they bring the plate up front, and what the doxology, they raise it up and, you know, give thanks for what they've given and then put it in the front so everybody can keep looking at the front instead of paying attention to the pastor. You know, we're nice. We keep it all back there out of the way so nobody hears it unless I drop the offering plate while I'm putting things away. And then people go, what's going on back there? But we're, you know, people, though, they do. Some folks that are not church regular or that are not honest with themselves. They bristle when they think about offering. But it should be welcome. And everybody, as it says, as we start seeing here, this is now certainly collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So the Apostle Paul wrote them a note, letter saying, hey, listen, you need to do this collection. I'm asking the other churches, like I did in Galatia, to take up an offering so that it can be given back to the people in Jerusalem. Because those people were giving out to the others. They were sending people out from Jerusalem. And then, of course, from Antioch, they also sent them out. But he's talking to them that, like in that is a regular giving. In other words, we take a regular amount that's given and designated for our missionaries. Each of our missionaries gets a set amount each month. And people give into that. When we do our faith promise, we look and see, okay, are we going to cover it? Or is it going to be covered? Then we just pray, well, Lord, we're not going to reduce it. We're just going to have faith that you're going to cover it. And then this is like the second year in a row we've been able to increase it. Hasn't been a whole lot, but we've been able to increase it. And then we talked about taking on the cooks when they get established, ready to go out there. And so we've actually taken on an eighth missionary now. And ninth, I'm sorry. And come January, we're going to have a business meeting. We're going to see how all that breaks out. And we're going to find that our missions giving, for instance, is above and beyond. And I think this is like, I don't know how many years in a row, we've been able to give a double offering in December for our missionaries. And of course, this year, not only did we give them a double offering, we gave them a double increased offering. So, I mean, it was only a couple of dollars that we put in there, but that increase was there. And you know, it's like the little as much when God is in it. There's so many churches put in. And what the Apostle Paul is asking him here, he says, regularly give this. And he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him his store as God has prospered him. And they're trying to establish that, like we said earlier, Jerusalem, the saints up there had fallen on hard times. Some of them were actually poverty stricken. I mean, living from point to point. So he essentially was asking and launching a fund drive, a love offering to be given to them. And various people from those churches, because it talks here in verse 3 about letters from those churches, as these are the designated men that will take them. Well, some churches do that. They actually will, when they take their offerings, they will. Somebody might take their vacation time and says, I'll gladly take that over to our missionary and help. I would have some folks that that I worked with every year. This was a Russian group that I worked with. One of the men volunteered to take clothing and things over back to the people in Georgia, where they came from. And they would all year long collect up food or clothing and money and stuff, because there they were having a hard time. The area that they were from, they were a lot of people out of work, high unemployment. They go back there, and these people just thought, wow, you've got it made. You're bringing all this stuff to us and taking care of us. And, you know, it's not they're just nice people. No, they were going back to a Christian church, a Bible-believing Christian church. When I talked with these guys, they made no bones about it. They knew Christ as their Savior. And they were excited to be able to help the people back home that weren't able to do that. Annually, they did that. So regularly, they set aside. So the collection was to help. And like I said, Agabus, back in Acts 11, you know, came up and was telling Paul and Barnabas about the problem up there. So Paul's going, well, hey, if they're the sending church from this, we need to help them. And he would ask all the people around for that. So it was kind of exciting. And so he was also trying to soothe some of the prejudices amongst the Jews. You know, that, hey, these Gentile churches are giving money back to the Christians, most of whom are Jews. And it says, they're giving people, just as you're giving people, don't have a prejudice against them. look on them that way. And a lot of times they were given anonymously, and they didn't know who particularly, but they were saying, wow, these people really do care about us. And I know a lot of our missionaries think the same thing. When they get a love offering from their churches, or they get a little extra in there, that, wow, that church cares about what we do. Because a lot of times, you know, they'll send us information back, and of course with the electronic messaging and stuff that we can do nowadays, we can get it a lot easier. Before it was, you know, okay, how long did it take for mail to get from the other side of the world here? Or like those that left from England to China, you know, it took months to get a letter back, and there would be issues. But what they were looking at is, what they wanted to do was establish a regular giving process like we do here. Take care of our missionaries. He says, well, we'll take care of these people. And there'll be a point where they can say, hey, we're doing good now. And oftentimes a church, well, I think, Pastor, when you came out here, you were on kind of a stipend for a little bit from one of your churches, weren't you?
Yeah, our home church sent us some support.
Right. And then there was a point where you say, okay, we're taken care of. Our needs are met. Can you apply it somewhere else? And some churches do that. That when they get established, and you know, oftentimes, you know, and that's the goal of every missionary, to get out and get in a church established that can be self-sustaining and either support them or sustain the church itself. Then they can move on to another. And I've known some that their goal was, I'm going to build a church here, not a church planter, but establish a church. And that's where they live the rest of their life. And then at one point, their church builds up enough, and they might start. They might be a sending church into that country. And some churches I've heard right back and say, "Hey, we're now self-sustaining. Now, can you apply your missions giving to another place?" And that's what the Apostle Paul, in reality, I think, was trying to do. Let's take care of the people in Jerusalem for this. And so, you know, it was given a lot of he's going to talk about in 2 Corinthians about the cheerful giving of the people, that they were happy to do this. And so he says the collection, he says, was such that it was over and above their regular giving. That's what we do here. We give our offerings, which people go, that's my tithe, and tithes and offerings, but it's over and above the regular giving. And he wants to do it in such a way that he will not have to be there, or that it won't be, when he arrives, they won't have to do the collection. Because sometimes when people set up, well, on this day we're going to do all this gathering, some people give out of emotion, some people, which can be good or bad, you know, some people, well, all I got's this, and you know, throw out the plate and move on. And what kind of a giving is that? You know, something like, well, I have to give. If I don't give, they're going to look down on me. And just all sorts of different ways that we in our minds conjure up the fact that it's a regular giving. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to establish with the folks. And that when they give it, it's, you know, like Lynn was saying, we know what we're going to give. You know, mentioned earlier, we know what we're going to give when we come in here. Some of us, you know, some of us are on set incomes. We know what we're going to give. And so, but other people goes, well, I'm just going to, well, okay, I got this much left over. That's what I'll give. You know, Pastor has taught us, we've read it in Scripture, and I know we've been taught elsewhere. What's the first thing we do? Give to the Lord. Because he's going to take care of us. And it's been mentioned, well, I can't afford to give. Well, you can't afford not to give. If you're honest with yourself and you want to see the Lord take care of you, not make you a multimillionaire, although he could do it, you know, especially if you see somebody that has a giving heart, and next thing you know, they're giving and things start multiplying. It's very possible. But then again, when people give sacrificially, God will take care of them. I've seen God do that. I've seen that where, I probably told you, when our church was trying to get established in Connecticut to get a piece of property, we had gone to a meeting. The town council at that time was trying to tell us, no, there's enough Baptist churches in this town. And, you know, but you get your stuff together and come on back to this next meeting. Well, in the meantime, the two men that were voting it down, one got ill and had to leave the country or leave to a better climate. And the other one retired and moved out of town. City council, head of it, says, hey, got your program presented? What'll it take to get you in there? Well, from the time the first meeting was until the second meeting, that we had gathered all but, I think, $4,000 to completely take care of the property. Well, as you can imagine, there was a check waiting in the mail to walk down there, because we had kind of a hallelujah meeting after that, because Pastor shared with us after the city council gave us the approval to go ahead with the building, that he says, oh, by the way, he says, everything's free and clear now. And we're like, what? He goes, yeah, he says, today, he says, we were going to close on it, and he says, went to the mailbox, and there was just what we needed. And it was like, wow, God does answer those kind of prayers. Yeah, and that's what the Apostle Paul was hoping for here too. When he came was to meet with them, he was hoping that they would not have to take a collection then, you know, scramble to get all the funds together, but to regularly put it together. It's like us when we gather through the month, we have our monthly giving to the missionaries. Now, what's interesting is that we write our checks kind of a month ahead. At the beginning of the month, we write it based on, Lord's going to take care of it in the following month, but Lord, you're going to take care of us here. So there's always that amount left over. But it's an example for churches to go by, to say, well, the Lord's going to provide it. And since I've been working on the books, that's better, working with the books, there's always been that fund there. Yeah, I've never had to manipulate. You know, some people, well, okay, well, we'll pay this one now and this one later, and well, this one's got 30 days on it, so I can wait. No, we have two separate funds. And there's the mission fund, and then there's the general fund. And it's amazing that there's always something there. And I know at the beginning of the year, we had some questions, and the pastor didn't get all of his pay. But our missionaries got paid. That was one thing. And the pastor said, straight up, he says, I'm taking care of it. Don't worry about that. We'll figure out a way around that. I'll embarrass him for it. But what the Apostle Paul was really trying to stress to them is regularly give. Don't give in such a way that it's going to be a burden on you, but make it a regular habit. That's what he was trying to establish with them, that it will be reserved and given on the first day of the week. You know, nothing says that, you know, we could have a kiosk out here and people could swipe their debit card through it and, you know, be taken out. You can do an automatic deduction. All you have to do is just put your card in there automatically you can type in your numbers and we'll automatically withdraw from your banking account. You know? No, but he does want, you know, regular giving, you know, and some people, you know, give as the Lord prospers. Some days there's big checks because the Lord took care of somebody for that. And they said, thank you, Lord, and they wrote out that check and put it in there. When we get the business meeting, this it'll be very interesting, some of the things that we have here. So here's a question, and we'll close with this, is what might have been Paul's reason for not wanting the church to collect funds during his visit? We kind of touched on it a little bit already, but what might have been Paul's reason for not wanting the church to collect funds during his visit? Anybody got an idea? Anna? Exactly. That's a perfect way to look at it. I'm Paul, you guys have got to be given. I mean, some preachers come in with that attitude, but that's what he wants it to be from their heart. He wants it to be a regular giving. And, well, it's like, when they were building the temple, they finally said, enough, we got enough money here, you can quit giving now. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? You can quit giving. We got all of our, well, actually, I was teasing Pastor. I told him in the middle of last month, we could send checks out now. there's that amount sitting there.
Amen.
And it was wonderful. And what's nice in that is if a missionary did have a problem, and I get those love offerings come in periodically, and I do send out a specific amount to some of our missionaries because somebody had a burden. Oh, wow. You know, and I get a note saying, you know, this missionary needs this, and can you designate it for this to go out there? Or tell them if that needs already taken care of, use it for what they need to. I think the last one was for the Rogers for some of their repairs or plane tickets. Because what was it going to cost them?
$10,000
to get to fly back? So God takes care of his servants when they show their love toward him. Offerings are a great, great time to just thank the Lord for what he's given. I know once I understood what giving was about, I don't have any problem. Well, Lord, I don't have the money now, and I'm just going to have to wait on it. Or it's like, no, the Lord will take care of it. And we've done that in the past. You know, I think we were short one time on our commitment, and we said, well, you know, past experience is we've always had more come in over the month. Now, some months have been low, but God's always provided. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to do here. He says, please build it as you need to, slowly, without panic or without emotion, or, well, the right kind of emotion, the kind of from your heart, not to where, like Anna says, when Paul comes, Paul's here, we better give. He's going to expect it. Or no, hey, Paul, we've been taking this regularly. Here, this is what we have to give to you. And that says a whole lot more. It's like if we knew that we had somebody coming for special meetings, maybe we'll take up an offering for that. And we do that. We announce love offerings ahead of time when missionaries are coming so that we can set in our heart, what am I going to give to our missionary? And that's the exciting thing about that. And we'll do some more here because the next one is give personally, give proportionally, and give responsibly. Most people say, you know, if you're going to drink, drink responsibly. If you're going to give, give responsibly. Honestly, there are people that, oh man, I'm going to write this check, and next thing you know, that person stopped payment on that check because they didn't have the money. That's embarrassing. There are people actually would do that. Thankfully, I've never seen it personally. But the Lord is always taking care of this church, and I'm excited. Let's pray.